Hello and welcome to this week's P&E chat. Dave Seddon and Adam Lord as ever, Thursday afternoon, back at the usual time. Slightly different surroundings.
Yeah, new room this one.
Yeah, booted the edge throughout the office, so we didn't have the riff-raff in the background.
It's a revolution.
Feet on the desk, job. We did think about not doing it, not a lot to talk about.
No
midfield was going in goal, nothing along those lines.
There was an online outcry, there was a poll.
There was a poll, everything, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would say back by popular demand, but that might be a stretch. we always start by looking back over the weekend, and let's be brutally honest, it was 24th against 20th for 75 minutes, and then Paul Gallagher came off the bench.
Yeah, just lit it up. It was just a standard championship scrap, wasn't it, really, for three quarters of the game at Ipswich. I think it was a poor game, wasn't it, really. Ipswich had taken the lead just on half time, and then obviously had the shenanigans with Chris Maxwell getting the second yellow and a red card. Off he went, all the subs had been made, and so hands up who wants to go in nets. Alex Neil said, what about Louis Malt? And Paul Gallagher put his hand up and said, nah, I'll go in Gaffer. And lo and behold, we had the story. Paul Gallagher puts the spare goalkeeper shirt on, makes a great save, which his teammates were all saying it was one for the cameras, which is a bit harsh on him. but he it was one all the time. He keeps a clean sheet. He was in nets with injury time I think they played more than 8 minutes of injury time in the end. So he kept a clean sheet, well protected by his defence, and he was the story. You know, we forgot the first 70 minutes of that match, and you know, we forget as well that he'd come off the bench, scored on his first touch from a free kick, and we saw him in the yellow shirt for 2 minutes. And then, lo and behold, you know, for the rest of it, he's wearing the green shirt, isn't he? So
it was crackers. Yeah. We got a couple. We will come on to it. We got a couple of comments, Paul. More on Sunday into Monday, we got a couple of comments saying, like, you know, move on from Gallagher. It wasn't much.
Gallagher can't move on from a goalkeeper from a midfielder who's 34, going in goals and keeping a clean sheet. My word! Some people are so boring, aren't they? Keep the pot bubbling.
From our point of view, apart from as you may have gathered, the Portman Road Wi-Fi, it was a dream, sort of, as somebody covering it. You know,
That Portman Road Wi-Fi was slower than me with a hangover on a Sunday morning. I tell you, it was awful. It was absolutely awful. So apologies if our tweets and blog didn't exactly fly quicker than Galley through the air making a save. You know, so
yeah, on the save. Questions, comments, I'll throw it in. I was like, questions, comments, anything, everything. We'll start with Galley and then we'll work our
but
way
we're
through
not throwing it
topics.
Forward yet. We're sticking with Galley
sticking
for a bit,
aren't we? Dave Nelson chips in with Galley, Scotland's number one. Yeah, he's got what, solitary international cap as a midfielder forward. So
the biggest Blackburn accent we've ever heard.
He's Scottish
as I am, I think. His dad's Scottish.
There is a Scottish freelance reporter we always see when we go down there, doesn't he? He covers the East Anglia beat, doesn't he? And he turned around to us afterwards and said, why is he not Scottish? I thought he would be Scottish. I'm like, no, he's from the Chambers Estate in Blackburn. Yeah. So, he's on the save. Let's talk about the save. Mm-hmm. Straight at him, but he...
Above him.
Mm-hmm. Above him, and I mean...
But he's a midfielder in goal. You know, like, yeah, for... Had Chris Maxwell made that one, had Declan Rudd made that one, fair enough, it's a standard save. It'd been made at the other end by the Ipswich goalkeeper, who I won't try and pronounce.
Bartosz Bielkowski. Yeah,
that's a, you're showing off today, aren't you? Decent save, standard save, but this is a midfielder going in goal. Sort of last played in goal playing for Blackburn Eagles when he was like 14 or something like that. So, no, credit's where it's due. It was a really good save. He said he didn't want to tip it over because Ipswich were quite strong on set piece, and I don't really think he fancied himself coming for crosses and things like that.
If I'm an Ipswich fan, I must admit, obviously it was Paul Lambert's first game in charge. They got a standing ovation, which tells me about a lot about how they've been this season. But they didn't test him enough.
No, they didn't. No, I've seen.
He had a couple of corners, and you just think, put the ball. The one thing he said that Jack Cudworth told him, the goalkeeping coach, when he came on, Cudworth's message to him was, don't come for anything.
Don't get involved with
anything. You know, save it if it comes your way, but let the defenders know what's going
and
on.
Maybe,
they will do their
and
job.
Maybe that's where the expertise of a proper goalkeeper, you know, of a goalkeeper comes in. You know, I suppose, I'm not taking anything away from it, you know, but I suppose we could all fling ourselves through the air and get our hand on something. But that decision of when to come for a cross, when you think you're going to come
one,
and get it.
There was one ball dropped into the 6-yard box where Paul Huntington's pretty much headed it in front of him. But they had a couple of corners, and it was, I mean, obviously I don't want this to happen, you know, we were from a North End point of view, but the ball needs to go under his crossbar from their point of view.
Yeah, I've covered games before where
I don't think teams know what to do. No, they seem to panic. And
I remember in my days when I covered Wigan. Wigan had a game down at Port Vale, and the Port Vale goalkeeper had to come off. He got a bang on the head, and they didn't have a sub keeper, and they put an outfield lad in goal. And I don't think Wigan had a shot on goal in that last sort of similar time. And it does tend to happen, you know. All the will in the world, the game plan must be like just bomb forward and like, you know, have a dip from anywhere, you know, 25, 30 yards, just test a keeper. But I don't know. I don't know, psychological thing or what, but sometimes you can find it difficult. It's not maybe as easy as it sounds.
They don't think about it. Dave Nelson, Gallagher is making long-term plans. Goalies play for longer than midfielders. He did say that as he sat down in the press conference, didn't he?
I can play till I'm 40 now, he said.
Of all the people for it to happen to, Paul Gallagher was the one he wanted to sit in the press conference with. We had 10 minutes with him, he would have sat there for hours. Yeah. He was quite happy talking about it, wasn't he?
If he didn't have to get him fly the... Because he was flying the plane home, flew the plane home, obviously, you know, because he did everything else that afternoon. I think he would have stayed for another half hour, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Mike Jones, on the game in general as well, must say that one thing which impressed me is the way Alex Neil, makes attacking substitutions, and on this occasion it proved to be very exciting. That was the problem Neil found himself in. That's why he wanted Malt to go in. He had so many attackers on the pitch, he wanted it to be one of them.
Four and a half strike. He had Maguire on the pitch, didn't he?
Yeah.
And
Nemecha.
He had Callum Robinson on the pitch. He had Malt, you know, like absolute bombing on. But, when Gallagher went in goal, the only centre midfielder he had on the pitch was Ben Pearson. And so Louis Malt ended up playing as emergency sitting midfielder and did very well.
It was lost in all of it. But one point I turned to you, didn't I? And Malt came and did a bit of a crunching challenge on the touchline nearest to us in the big main stand, and just said to him, he said he's fun to shift in there. He's getting about the pitch, you know, and it was surreal. It was absolutely surreal.
Because we said about, you know, Neil making his substitutions. He made three very attacking substitutions. He made them all by the 71st minute, which it's not that late in the day. When you're chasing 1-0 away from home, you want to be throwing subs on, I did see one or two people questioning should he have made all his subs by then, but
he does.
Know, yeah,
it's his
but
way.
Why not? Yeah,
it's his way.
You want subs to make an impact, and you don't tend
it's
to.
His way.
Only
I don't.
5 minutes. No.
He will always say, and he said this to us recently, even with the way he's. We're talking about balance, haven't we? Yeah. Chasing games and due cautious, with the way the results have gone. But he's always said, "I'll try and win a game."
Yeah, and if you're going to chase a game, there's no point just doing like for like. If you've got a 4-2-3-1 out there and that 4-2-3-1 hasn't quite been working, you want to try something a little bit different. So you put that extra attacker on, don't you? And, move a few people around. So, yeah, they were attacking substitutes. As it was, it did leave them, you know, it did leave them short of options, obviously. But you don't pencil into account that Chris Maxwell was going to get sent off, didn't he?
Even if a fullback or something had been sent off, Ben Pearson would have dropped back. For that to happen was, listen, it's out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Hi to Stephen O'Halloran and others who are joining us. Questions, comments on anything and everything. I'm interested in people's opinion on this. Alex Neil was quite careful what he said on Saturday. Today he was a bit more critical of Chris Maxwell.
Yeah.
So we had the press conference there ahead of
Richard. For the second one.
Yeah. The first one, I think the general agreement is, as much of a mess of him and Josh Earle made of the situation, I won't absolve Earle of blame for the back pass was
not from the halfway line.
It was
well struck as well.
I think you help it down the line, don't you, in hindsight.
You put it
in the
stand,
which we have, and he doesn't. I know, it's like that. Maxwell may have nicked the ball for the first one, but the second one, whichever way you look at it, it's bonkers.
There's no need. I don't think in any circumstances there's probably no need for him to come flying out what it is. That, you know, he's a sweeper keeper, he likes to be involved, he likes to come out of his box. But I think he was being far too sort of ambitious with that one. And as well, what you have to factor in, if you're on a yellow card, however probably a little bit harsh for what the first yellow card was, that had gone. He had the yellow card to his name, couldn't do anything about it. You've got to be thinking, I'm going to get pulled up again. You know, another foul like that. If this goes wrong, I could be getting sent off here. You've got to have that in your mind. And unfortunately, he was a little bit rash and reckless there. So.
Bit right, it's his game, but there are lines, and
he got it wrong. You've just got to manage yourself at times. I do think that the Preston defence works better with Maxwell. The way they create quite a high line, and I just think, you know, whatever you think of either of the North End's keepers, where the strengths or weaknesses are, just the way it fits, I just think Maxwell suits the North End defence slightly better in that he will come out and clear up behind him. He will be that sort of fifth defender at times, you know. Unfortunately, on this occasion, it didn't quite, you know, it sort of went against him.
Just to clarify, there is a there is a roundup of the press conference on the website, and I will read from that for you, for Chris Maxwell. Neil said this morning, the second booking's a ridiculous one, really. Quite a strong word. I don't think Maxi should find himself in that position. He's nearly at the touchline, which is what Dave said. Even then, I'm not sure how much of a free kick is. It does look soft, and the point has been made about if he's an outfield player, maybe he doesn't get booked. But as you say, the bottom line of this is, it's dafting when he's not on a booking, and when he's on a booking, it's not good. It's not good from Chris, and I think he will accept that.
Yeah.
The debate now.
Who plays?
Well, I must admit, we turned up at the press. I'm interested in people's opinions on this, so please do put your comments in, because we turned up at the press conference this morning expecting to mainly speak about Declan Rudd. And an attempt at rehabilitation for him. He's had a poor start to the season, so he's now got a chance, effectively, you know, to put in a good performance. But Alex Neil turned it straight away into, listen, there's Michael Crowe.
As well,
Straight away he just said, I've got a decision to make, was his phrase.
Yeah, and he Michael Crowe signed in the summer from Ipswich on a Bosman. This mysterious third-choice goalkeeper, isn't he? He got an injury in pre-season, quite early in pre-season, so he didn't play in any of the friendlies. I don't think he was fit until probably September-ish, something like that. So, and you know, he was signed as a third-choice goalkeeper. Well, to put pressure on the other two, that was a pecking order. It was like Maxwell, Stroke, Rudd all the way around, followed by Crowe. But he just said he's been training well. You know, when we spoke to Neil this morning at Springfield, he said, he's been training well, he's impressed us. He says his one problem he's had is that we've not been able to give him any game time because, you know, they don't have a reserve side at North End. The schedule recently of playing a lot of Saturday, Tuesday football means of not being able to fit any bounce games in against another team. They have 11 sides between themselves within the squad, but it's that lack of game time, and maybe that lack of game time will just be what counts against him this weekend. If I had my last fiver to put on at the moment, I'd probably say it would be Rudd playing on Saturday, but he's left the door ajar for Crowe, hasn't he? You know, like, you know, if Crowe's name was to appear on that team sheet on Saturday, it would now not be a surprise. It would not be an absolute stunner, you know. So
there are several theories here, and Alex Neil is known to sort of, sometimes he'll put things in the press just to, you know, keep his players on toes. And I wonder whether he just wanted to acknowledge that Crowe had done well.
Yeah,
whether it might have been disrespectful to Crowe to say, Rudd comes back in.
Yeah.
And Crowe thinks, well, I've been training really hard. I've been working really hard to impress, and people are telling me I'm doing well. What more can I do? Yeah. You know, if he's just writing it off straight away. And let's be fair, we do not know.
Mm.
We do not know how Declan Rudd is.
No.
Because it was he had a horrible start of the season, let's be fair. He had a really bad one.
Yeah.
A couple of games before he got dropped, I think we turned to each other and said he looked shot confidence-wise. Yeah. He needed pulling out for himself as much as for the team.
First couple of games of the season, he was fine. If you think about it, he made a really great save against QPR late in the game to keep it at 1-0. Saved the penalty down at Swansea. But then it just sort of unravelled a little bit towards...
Couldn't recover through September, first...
You know, the Bolton game, he conceded that soft one, didn't he? There was question marks against, is it Derby as well? You know, he might have done better with a couple of their goals, you know, and it just sort of unravelled for him, so...
I would say as well, if you're talking about if Crowe does play...
Mm-hmm.
Three goalkeepers used by November.
Yeah.
And it's not an injury crisis, is it? You know, you've had effectively one goalkeeper unavailable for a game, and you're saying you're on to your third goalkeeper.
It will be quite
a... It doesn't sound like a recipe for success today, you know?
No, you want a bit more substance there, don't you?
More stability. Mike Jones, Rudd has to play. He started the season well and then had a poor spell, as you said. Maxwell did exactly the same last season and let Rudd back in. I would argue whoever plays on Saturday, his rush of blood to the head of side, Chris Maxwell, has done enough in the unbeaten run to come straight back in.
Yeah, I would as well.
I would certainly. Darren Parkinson, to be fair to our goalies, they haven't had a settled back four. I'll go with that.
That's stats are there for that, aren't they? Yeah.
We might get another change again on next Saturday. There was a debate today. We've asked Alex Neil about Josh Earle and Andrew Hughes.
Who
gets the nod? Hughes was a bit banged up by the sounds. It wasn't a couple of niggles here.
He got shin splints and he had a bad back for the Ipswich game, so they put Josh in. So it's whether you go back to Hughes or you stick with Earle for a few games. I don't know. So
Earle looked like a player to me and needs to run a game.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's a young lad. I don't think youngsters being put in and out all the time.
Yeah.
They're not going to learn as quickly, are they? You know, they need to learn a little bit more. They need to run a game. But North End are in a position at the moment where you know, I do think they need some stability to sort of, you know, get themselves up that table.
We're in a position here, though, where we're scratching our head every week, aren't we, about who's going to play? Yeah. I mean, I know there's a suspension in goal.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Clark seems to depose Darnell Fisher for the last couple of games.
Yeah.
Fisher having got nowhere near the levels he was at last year.
And more for his sort of, rather than his full-back abilities, rather than his general defensive work, I think Neil likes having him in there.
I think it's when he's shipping him out of goals, he's probably one of his best defenders in the team, didn't he?
So and it worked last week at Ipswich. I thought he was very good at Ipswich.
Huntington and Davis getting together like they did last year, slowly.
Neil said that last week. He made a point of saying that he thought those two were starting to come together a little bit more, as we were last year. For me, there's been too much chopping and changing at the back. I know it's tempting to do it when you're losing or, you know, not getting the results you want, but sometimes you've just got to go with it, nail it. You know, falls four, they can have a few games, you know. So,
afternoon to Joe Cooper. Good to have you on, Joe.
Yeah.
As you can probably gather by the comment, we know Joe. Good to have you on, Joe. Comments on the beard, Joe, that the beard generally correlates to the amount of work I've done this week, so...
It's not quite as easy top, is it, mate?
No,
it's not. No, you're not being that busy, are you?
No, what?
Laziness?
Potentially. That would have been
short of Santa, is it?
No, not here. I'm warming up for Christmas. It does start to go a bit grey, actually. So, not quite white at all.
Campaign for Adam to have a shave before Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, will do. I might go for haircuts.
Yeah.
I might go full throughout. Ian's the one off the walls tonight. He'll be the one in the mirror for the next hour.
I'm representing you boys.
Yeah. You are. What was he going to say? It's completely thrown.
Thrown, yeah. The fact we were up for an award later on. Yeah.
Plenty of debate about a team. What's your a team for Saturday then?
Yeah.
What would have been a team? What do you think?
Well, I think he will go Rudd. Oh, might be wrong. I'd stick with Clark at right back. I'd stick with Huntington and Davis. I think I'd stick with Earl just for continuity's sake, but. He has, you know, I think he has to play better than he did last week. I'd go with Pearson in midfield. I'd still be tempted to play Daniel Johnson next to him. Superman, Paul Galley. There's got to be, you know, there's at some point there's got to be, grounds for him to come back in. But no, I'd stick with DJ there. Probably Alan Brown ahead of him, although I think Brown, by his own admission, talking to him this week and by what we saw last week, didn't have his best game at Ipswich. But and it's interesting what he does up front, actually. So he'll definitely go with Callum Robinson. I'll stick with Barkays, and I'll probably stick with Maguire up front.
I think week to week you're probably okay. If it had been a Tuesday nighter, he might have given him a breather.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still said today that Maguire is feeling his way back. Probably gathered, you know.
Yeah.
It was very direct first half, wasn't easy for him. It's no coincidence when the game opened up late on.
Mm-hmm.
He became more and more involved, didn't he?
What's interesting, I think they went to Ipswich last week expecting a bit of a scrap and got one.
Bristol City
aren't that kind of side, are they? They're much more building from the back. Lee Johnson likes to knock it around. So if Neil sees something in that he can sort of, you know, maybe use Maguire or prefers Nemecha instead of him, I don't know. So he said he took Nemecha out of the firing line last week just because it was going to be a bit more of a battle and he wanted a little bit more experience. I know Maguire's still relatively new to the English league, you know, but he's got a bit more know-how there. So, it just depends, you know, what he thinks Bristol City might offer, I think.
Stephen O'Halloran makes a good point. I don't mind this thinking. I'm going to say don't know to part of this, Stephen. Can anyone tell me what type of keeper Crowe is? Is he a sweeper keeper like Maxwell or a stay-at-home keeper like Rudd? Therein lies the answer as to who plays for me on Saturday. By the way, Alex Neil thinking when it comes to the tactics he wants to play.
Go on.
He has never played a Football League game.
No, he's not, no.
He's played on loan at Braintree and, we looked at this,
Stevenage and somewhere else, but he didn't play for...
Didn't play for Stevenage, went on loan there and didn't play.
Played six for Braintree, four somewhere else, was
Woking?
It? Woking? Yeah, mate.
I'm just going to look this up, obviously, as I type. He's 6 foot a lot. He's
6 foot five.
6 foot five at least.
He's 22, he's 23 next week. He looks older, I'll give him that. He's a big fella, isn't he? So
he's a more unlike Maxwell and Ruddy. He's your more conventional looking goalkeeper.
He's a big lad. Yeah.
It was Woking, yeah. So he never.
I can't see him being a sweeper keeper myself.
No,
but I might be doing him a total disservice there.
So Ipswich, he did not play a game for in any competition senior football. Played four games on loan at Woking in 2015. Went to Stevenage on loan later in 2015, didn't play a game for them. I imagine they had some kind of shortage and he went there for numbers. Braintree, the start of 2016, he played six games, but he has not played a senior game of football since.
No, then. He was on the bench for Ipswich quite a bit last season, I think, against one of the games against North End, he was on the bench. So, yeah, so the answer is we there's not a lot we know about him, is it?
He doesn't have a Wikipedia page. Oh, not that I use that as a source. But as an indication, yeah. Everybody has a Wikipedia page. Yeah. Everybody has a Wikipedia page. And he does not.
He will. If he plays this weekend, they'll have one.
He does not. Yeah. He's only... Yeah. I haven't got time for that. He's in this. I'm busy shaving this off. So his experience of first team football is in the National League conference in Old Money, for those of you on that. But as we said, it wouldn't be a massive surprise. The thing that keeps niggling me in the back of the mind is Neil just giving him credit, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But I would never rule anything out from when we got to Reading last season and we were sort of like, well, who's playing left back? And it was
Joshua.
Greg Cunningham's injured. Is it going to be Kevin O'Connor? Is it going to be somebody moved across? And then somebody threw Josh Earle at us, which was like, hang on a minute, you know. And then obviously he's never looked back. But
no.
There is that.
Yeah.
Alex Neil, if he thinks they're ready, he's not thrilled to come in.
No, he's not. We're not talking about a kid here at all. In the goalkeeper's terms, he's quite young.
He's
not a pup, is he? He's not 16 or 17.
I remember you making a point when he signed, because obviously, originally he signed, they needed another goalkeeper. Matt Hudson has gone to Bury, where he barely kicked a ball, which I don't think North End will be delighted about. So he sort of brought him in. He'd been called up by Wales, which I think surprised everybody, including him.
Yeah.
He went over to the China Cup with Chris Maxwell, but didn't play a game. Mm-hmm. But he has less football league experience than Matt Hudson.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Think of it in those terms.
The same amount of football league experience as you and me, which is
he has more football experience. Should make it clear. So the game.
I think it's quite nice when you can debate something like this because we're all guessing, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's just nice. It's nice to have a debate like this. I think it's I think it will be Rudd, but again, it wouldn't surprise me if it ends up being.
Behind the scenes, you don't know how far he fell in those weeks in sort of either Neil's mind or his own mind. You know, he's because he did look so short of confidence when he was dropped. So short of confidence. Whether the thing he's built up and whether. You never know. Neil's always said with Rudd and Maxwell, he'd like a keeper in between. Style wise.
Yeah.
Rudd is a bit more stay at home, good shot stopper, and Maxwell, as we saw on Saturday, can be just a bit too gung ho. He might look at Crowe and go, well, he collects the ball. He might be. He's 6'5", as we say, which is the other boy.
If it was sort of Ipswich this week and he were going there for a battle, Crowe might be the ideal one, you know, the big guy
collect the ball. I don't know. We shall see.
Might be Paul Gallagher gets a nod. Now that would be a curveball, wouldn't it?
Might be Paul Gallagher. Nice touch on Monday, wasn't it, when he turned up to work and he had a goalkeeper jersey ready for him.
Yeah, well done, Steve Gow.
Before I ask you any predictions, fire them over. Bristol City obviously is the game in question. If you don't predict a win, you haven't looked at the history books.
It's done really well. It's just in football you get some, you know, like against some teams, you've just got a record where it goes for you or goes against you. It's and they've what unbeaten in 10? Unbeaten in 10 against Bristol City, won the last 8. So hopefully that status quo can be maintained.
Yeah, won the last 3 down there, 2-1.
Yeah, they've won 4 on the bounce down there. Yeah, they won 1-0 in the promotion season. I think that was Bristol City's, I think it was only their second defeat of the season, first at home. Callum Robinson scored down there. And then, they've won since they've come up to the Championship, they've won the last 3 visits 2-1. So, had a change in Ashton Gate. Every time we go, they seem to have built a new stand or moved the press box into another one, haven't they? So
it's a good setup down there.
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah.
Good setup down there. Spoke to Daniel Johnson today, who is quite a fairly quiet speaker, and then his eyes lit up when we mentioned Bristol City. We love playing down there, he said.
Yeah. He's good down there. He scored down there
a couple of years ago in the... A game where Simon Mackinock scored.
Yeah, he put us in front.
Did the little dance.
Yeah. Always used to be, when we won down there as well, it was always used to be Aaron Wilbraham scored an equaliser against us and then we'd go on to get the second one, you know. It was a real pattern, very similar pattern to the games, yeah. So, fascinating. I always remember Greg Cunningham scoring the winner down there and diving header. Yeah. Went off to celebrate with the North End fans, then diverted to head towards Steve Cottrell, who I don't think he got on with too well.
Who wasn't unhappy to see him.
Teammates jumped on him to sort of celebrate and stop him in his tracks.
Stop him getting some kind of FA ban.
Yeah.
But yeah, that by the way, if you want to relive that game, that match is on our website.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Lovely, with a picture of Greg diving that header home. Of the old DJ's point basically was there's just a lot of connections to the inside. Mm-hmm. He said that Greg always used to get them going. You saw him going down there. Obviously, you're playing against his former club. Mm-hmm. Callum Robinson had a loan spell there. Looking back over his North End career, 150 games. Mm-hmm. I say if he plays, he'll play unless he's injured. Mm-hmm. 150 North End games for Callum Robinson on Saturday with loan spells and permanent move. In between all those three loan spells, we went to Bristol City and did very little.
I think he only started three games for him, I think.
Two,
it was.
I think.
Was it? Yeah.
And one was in the cup.
Yeah, yeah.
Callum doesn't mind going there and showing what he can do. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we have Messrs Wright and Brownhill.
Yeah, yeah. And Bailey Wright's out injured, has been since April, so he won't play. But Josh Brownhill gone there and he's become more and more of an influence in their midfield. To the point he's like one of their main men now down there. So. Made his debut for North End as a 17-year-old, came through, did really well. Dropped out of contention at North End when probably North End started to lean on a little bit more experience as he tried to get in, you know, get out of League One and into the Championship. And when he got into the Championship, he was sort of in and out. He went on loan to Barnsley, got to know Lee Johnson there. Johnson went to the Bristol City job, you know, a month or so after Brownlee had gone to Barnsley on loan. And then his contract ran out and he ended up following Johnson down to Bristol City, but it's a move which has turned out well for him. So
turned out okay for Bailey Wright. He's club captain, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But unfortunately, you know, he's got a long-term thigh injury. I think he had an operation on it over the summer. Missed out on the World Cup squad, not because of the injury, but I think, you know, for some reason he just overlooked, you know, and they named the squad.
Change of coach, different.
I think Bailey had played all the Australian qualifiers, got through to the World Cup, and then suddenly found himself out of the squad, which was a bit unfortunate. So I think he had this injury, niggling injury, so they got it operated on during the summer when really he should have been at the World Cup. So
Dave, Ian has put your prediction in the comments, even though he's not said it. Your prediction is?
I'm going for a 1-0 win.
Oh, wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Ian went for another 2-1. The Dave 7-2-1, as it's known. Let me have a look. Dave Nelson 2-2, Darren Parkinson 3-3. Darren, the
3-3.
With a suit, I don't think I can deal with that. At least it's not as far.
Yeah.
Well done to any North End fan who went to Ipswich and went through that diversion through Cheshire on the way back, by the way.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Middlewich.
It was nice. I believe the North End supporters coach got back even later than we did, even though it probably set off quite a bit before, and I think that showed how bad the traffic was at some point. So, yeah, 404 North End fans went down to Ipswich. Very good turnout.
It's a great effort for a team.
Considering how the season's been going and how the away form's been.
Stephen O'Halloran, Super Tommy Clark scoring again from a set piece.
Do me. Yeah.
P&E win 5-0. Crikey.
Blimey. A pint of what he's on.
Yeah. Stephen, if you genuinely think that.
Ah, brilliant.
I would put £1 on it.
Yeah.
Because if it comes off, you'll be buying the beers. What's the. Heading down there, what's the mood at the moment? Six unbeaten.
Mm hmm. Six unbeaten, still a little bit uncertain in that there's been four draws in there. So
it's a six-game unbeaten run. They're only out of the relegation zone on goal difference. You know, it's
a decent unbeaten run without being absolute before, rather than pulling up any trees.
Yeah.
In it. If you think about the four draws they've had, the 3-3 draw at Villa was pretty good, wasn't it? You know, like exciting second half, especially 1-1 draws at Hull, Ipswich, Rotherham haven't been classics, have they? So, decent enough, but a lot of room for improvement, I'd say. But the mood was better than, say, it was 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah. Plenty of room for improvement. Let's hope that comes at Ashton Gate.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
If you are making the... If you made the trip to Ipswich and you're making the trip to Bristol City, you deserve a medal.
And probably be broke as well.
Serious miles, yeah. Yeah. It's a long old trip, but...
Bristol City is like a local derby compared to going to Ipswich, isn't it? Yeah.
I think the North End fans heading down there know they are will probably have history on their side. Yeah. I've had a look at the past results and thought, oh, yeah, I've enjoyed my trip down there before. Yeah. Maybe I'll go again.
If you can find a car parking space around Aston Gate, good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you. Yeah. If anybody gets there early, can you save us one? Because that is, it's one of the...
put a cone out or something. Yeah, one of the...
Just put a picture of us down there. One of the less fun sort of things where you end up giving yourself half an hour or more to get there because then you do sort of laps of the ground for half an hour. But yeah, long old trip, but heading into an international break. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week during the international break, but heading into an international break, 3 points would be sort of giving them a spring in their step, wouldn't it?
Certainly would, yeah. It just gives you that little bit of enthusiasm, you know, and then thankfully this is the end of the international breaks until the spring, isn't it? So after this we've got three or four months worth solid of solid football, yeah. We got
solid spell football.
In. Really important spell coming up after the internationals to sort of build some momentum, lots of points, you know, lots of games, lots of points to be had. So, yeah, big spell. Yeah, we'll be crying out for the March international break, won't we? I think there's one, isn't there? I think there's one.
I hope so. Before that point, I don't need one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks for tuning in as ever. And we shall see those of you that are down there at Bristol City.